Psalm 49, for the choir director, a praise of the sons of Korah. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth will speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will express my riddle on the harp. Why should I fear in days of adversity, when the iniquity of my foes surrounds me? Even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of his soul is costly, and he shall cease trying forever, that he should live on eternally, that he should not undergo decay. For he sees that even wise men die, the stupid and the senseless alike perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses are forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They have called their lands after their own names. But man in his pomp will not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of those after them who approve their words. Selah. As sheep, they are pointed for shoal. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning, and their form shall be for shoal to consume, so that they have no habitation. But God will redeem thy soul, or my soul, from the power of Sheol, and he will receive me. Do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not descend after him. Though while he lives, he congratulates himself, and though men praise you when you do well for yourself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers, and he shall never see the light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 49 is a psalm that's a little different. I think you've noticed that throughout this kind of time, especially we've been doing a lot of the Sons of Korah, that they're very different kind of psalms than the Psalms of David. And this also is very unique. This actually sounds more like Proverbs, you know, or actually better said, Ecclesiastes. Most of the Psalms are, remember, it's praise and prayer. That seems to be the idea, okay? I praise God, or they're talking about a circumstance. And because of the circumstance, you know, I'm complaining, but I pray to God, and then I praise God. This one is very different. This one is basically, he tells us straight up from the beginning, this is about wisdom and understanding. And so I'm going to lay out wisdom, but there's a word here that helps us to know this is not Proverbs and this is not Ecclesiastes. This is a psalm, and we'll get to that in a moment. And so the sons of Korah, they seem to think that what they're about to say is really, really important, because they start out here, right? You know, the Shema, hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. And so he's like, he's saying, this is not just for the covenant people. This is not just for the Israelites. This is for everybody. Everyone, stop. You need to listen to this. You need to meditate on this. This is high, low, rich, poor. It doesn't matter. Everyone needs to hear what I'm about to say, which can sound a little arrogant if you think about it, right? I mean, the sons of Korah, they seem to be a little, but the things that he has to say, though, are actually quite important. And then he tells you what this is why he wrote this, or this is why these sons, the sons of Korah were worship leaders, remember? And this is why it says, my mouth will speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will be understanding. And so he's basically saying, listen, I'm going to drop some wisdom on you. I've been meditating before the Lord, and the Lord has given me some revelation. He's given me some understanding. So let me share with you what God is teaching me during this time. And so then this is really not unlike any sermon. You know what I mean? Like, let me share with you what God is speaking to me about. And so it's actually not that arrogant when you think about it. And he says, I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will express my riddle on the harp. And seemingly, the sons seem to think that this set to music will make it easier for people to understand this riddle. And so the proverb, sage wisdom, you know, in that way. And so the sons, these guys are thinking that, oh, if I set this to music, if I play the harp, that it'll be like something that really sinks in upon us. And that's true, right? I mean, worship has that ability to do that. As we meditate and we sing, it seems to like resonate in our heart. It may take time, but it seems to resonate in our heart. I mean, I can just, even personally for me, I find this personal, that most revelation that I get is actually from the place of worship. It's when I'm adoring Christ, when I'm singing to the Lord. And a lot of times happens here in the sanctuary, right? You know, even before I go up to preach and during the worship, and there's many times I've changed sermons, I add to it because God is downloading different ideas during that time that's really leading us. For a case in point, if you looked at my notes last Sunday, you know, that whole little bit about Romans 12, you know, verse 1, you know, the living sacrifice, you know, dead man walking on, that actually wasn't in my notes, if you saw that. That was from the worship time, right? That was as I was worshiping the Lord. And then God just very clearly said, hey, how about this? You know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is good. Like, you know, jot. If you see me during worship sometimes, I'll just pick up my notes. I'll start jotting things down. And that's by the way, that's a good sign. It's not that I'm not worshiping the Lord. It's that because of my worship, God is speaking to me. And so I'm amending my notes. And sometimes I've crossed out whole sections, you know, and these type of things. So those are all good things. And so that's what he's thinking. He's saying, I'm going to set this to music. And so hopefully that's easier for you to understand. That's what we do with kids, right? When we want them to know the alphabet, what do? We sing it to them, right? When we want them to clean up, what do? We sing it to them. And so it's not like we're unlike little kids even now, right? And so God says, okay, you want to learn stuff here? Let's start by singing. You know, let's do this thing together. So that's what is getting through. And then he gets to the meat of this. And the whole point of this is the folly of riches. And from verse 5, he's basically saying, this is what money can't buy. I should take a step back and say, when the Bible talks about riches, or when we talk about riches, usually speaks in four different ways, okay? We talk about riches in the things of what you have. Your possessions make you rich. The Bible also talks about there's a wealth in what you do. So there's riches point to kind of your work. And so like you, like the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes will say that you enjoy what you do, your labor. The Bible will say you are rich. Right, you are wealthy because you enjoy what you do. There's also a wealth in something that you know. And so revelation, truth, and when you have this, the Bible also says you are also rich. You're rich in wisdom, which is important. And then there's also a wealth of who you are. This talks about character. And so a righteous man in that way, like who knows who's upright in character, the Bible also says that he is also wealthy. Okay, so when the riches, when it happens, and you have to recognize, okay, what kind of riches is the Bible talking about? Is it talking about the richness of having character? Remember, a good name is worth far more than gold and silver, right? Precious jewels, right? So what is that talking about? It's talking about a richness of your character. So you're wealthy in character. Are you wealthy in knowledge because you have wisdom? You know, are you wealthy because of your possessions? You know, are you wealthy because of what you do? There's those aspects. Now, obviously, this psalm is talking about the first one, which is the most superficial one, the wealth because of what you have, your possessions. Okay, and so like it's really the most elementary form of wealth. Okay, because we know you can like not have much money, but be very, very wealthy. Right? No? Yeah, right? Yeah. And things. I remember the first time I went to Mexico on a mission trip, and I met these deaf orphans, and I left that orphanage knowing in my heart of hearts, this is before I was a Christian, by the way, that these kids are much richer than I am. Even though I have material wealth, they have something that money can't buy. You know, and it was actually a shock for me to recognize that. So the scriptures here, the psalmist is talking about the most superficial, the wealth of possessions, okay? And so he says, so in verse 5, it starts this part. Why should I fear in the days of adversity when the iniquity of my foes surrounds me? Even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of his soul is costly, and he shall cease trying forever, that he should live on eternally, that he should not undergo decay. And so the sons, they're basically saying here, and I think this is a very important point, okay? Now, there was an idea in the Middle Ages that wealth was just evil. And it's still present in modern day churches as well, right? That's why in some modern day churches, people pay their pastors so little. It's almost inhumane, you know? And because that is what's prized. You know, poverty is prized. The poverty mentality is prized. And so, but that's not what the Bible is talking about. Right? So there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. Remember, it's not money that's the root of all evil. What is it? It's the love of money. And so that's a key distinction that we need to have. Because when we talk about wealth, it's not a crime or a sin to have wealth. Okay? Because that's also a part of God's blessing. If you look at like a Solomon or David or Abraham, they were, if you look at the modern day, they were probably billionaires. You know, if we look at in that terminology, very successful in even the way the world. Remember, the queens and kings would visit Solomon to look at his possessions. I mean, this is quite astounding. And so it's not necessarily wealth, but it's what he says, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance. When years ago, and I'll be honest, I also had this poverty mentality. I thought that like money was good, but like only for missions. I'm just being honest, right? Money was good, but like you redeem money by giving to missions. That was my idea. And it really, and I think it was kind of a stumbling block in many ways because I became quite judgmental. But I went on this tour and you guys know, I traveled around the country and visited churches and things. And, you know, on this, I met very, very wealthy Christians that were like on fire for God. And they clearly had means, but they were so committed to the gospel, and it just totally, I had a paradigm shift. One of the guys, he was the largest, it's a car brand, Dodge, Chrysler, right? The largest Dodge dealership on the East Coast, very wealthy. And then this man, and it's crazy, but he is so generous. I mean, he just blessed our team. He actually gave our team a van, you know, because our other van was literally falling apart. And so he gave us a van that eventually I was given by the ministry after my tour as a thank you. And then I gave it away as well when we left Hong Kong. But I mean, it's pretty amazing. He used to have a warehouse in the back, and twice a week he would personally, even though he was the largest Dodge dealer in the East Coast, he would make sandwiches for the poor. And he just had a minute, and he would sit there and make sandwiches, you know, and some employees, but not, they didn't have to, right? They wanted to, and we helped them out. And then he would just go out and distribute, you know, and then he had like a prayer house that we ended up staying, you know, for a few days, and just incredible man of God. And it really made me think, yeah, actually it's not, money is not evil. It's with the value that people put on money. That's what makes it evil in that way. So it's not, money is nothing. Right? It's our hearts that are evil. Isn't that kind of what Jesus is saying, right? It's not your eyes, right? You know, you look on a woman with lust, it's not your eyes that are, it's your heart. You know, it's because you have lust, adultery in your heart. And so it's that same idea. And so he's saying that you guys, see, money can't buy the important things. That's what the psalmist is saying. Money can maybe buy you a house. Money can buy you some clothes, but that's all good and all. But money can't buy you what's really important, which is your soul. Isn't that what Jesus says? Remember this very famous line? What profits a man if he should gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? They're talking about the soul in that way is talking about eternity, right? And so that's what he's saying. You know, so he can't do any of these things. Money can't do any of these things for you. So you can understand his idea. So why trust in that? Why put your faith in that? It can't buy you what's really, really important. It could buy you some friends, but that's not the friends that you want to have. You know what I mean? That's like prodigal son, right? That's not the friends you want to have to begin with, but that's what happens. And so we'll continue on for verse 10. For he sees that even when wise men die, the stupid and the senseless alike perish. In other words, everyone dies. He's saying everyone is going to give an account someday. All of us. The rich, the poor, the wise, the not so wise, right? I mean, it's interesting they use the word stupid in here, right? So we have a rule in our home. You can't use that word stupid, but it's in the Bible. Okay, we'll have a chat. This is the folly of the riches. Verse 11, their inner thoughts is that their houses are forever, the dwelling place to all generations. They have called their lands after their own names. Now, this is like Alexandria, named after Alexander, right? Caesarea Philippi, named after Caesar. I mean, there's so many lands, you know, Washington, D.C., named after George Washington, and so on and so forth. And so he's saying that we think because we can name the land, because we have land and we pass it on to our, you know, children and our children's children, we think that our name is going to be forever. And the psalmist is saying, no. It doesn't work that way. You could lose your wealth in one generation. We see this happening. In fact, generational wealth, we know now, is actually quite difficult to keep. You know, it's quite rare, in fact, when that happens, because generations keep messing it up. It seems to be a pattern. And he says, but this is the folly of it all. You think because you have possessions and you name your possessions, and he says, it's folly. It's folly when this happens. You know, this is the way, verse 13, of those that are foolish and of those after them who approve their words. And then he wants us to pause, the Selah. Just meditate on that. Yeah, it's foolish to trust in our wealth. It's foolish to boast in the abundance of what we have. So we pause. And then, 14, as sheep, they're appointed for a shoal. This is hell, this word here. Death shall be their shepherd. This is kind of very poetic. The upright shall rule over them in the morning, and their form shall be for Sheol to consume. So they have no habitation. Like, you named your houses and lands, but man, when you die, you don't even have a home, right? You have no place to lay your head. It's a simple idea. And this is where it hinges. This is where it's different than the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. It's the but God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol. He will receive me. This is the key. So now, this is no longer just wisdom. Now it's gone back to that place of praise. God, you are the only one, right? You are the one that redeems. Only you can pay this price for us. And then he goes back to the advice. 16, do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not descend after him. Even though while he lives, he congratulates himself. And though men praise you when you do well for yourself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers, and they shall never see the light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. And so he's saying that, listen, when we die, and this is actually a New Testament argument, right? When we die, we take nothing with us. That's basically what Jesus was teaching, right? Remember in his parable, and he was talking about the rich, you know, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And remember the disciples really kind of like, you know, Lord, I think you offended a lot of rich people. You know, you want to clarify the statement, right? And Jesus says, oh, okay, let me double down, right? It's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom, but it's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, and there seems to be this illustration. And basically the impossibility of it, because he says what is impossible with man is possible with God. But the picture that Jesus is really trying to express is that when a camel goes through, and this is just talking about a gate, okay? The hyperbole is a needle, so it's even smaller. But typical, most people in the first century would understand that when a camel goes through a gate, remember, a camel's got a lot of stuff on it, right? All the possessions. In order for a camel to go through the gate, what you have to do is you have to take everything off the camel. Then the camel goes through, and then the possessions, you know, and you put it back on. That's the idea. And so what Jesus is saying, basically, is the same idea. You can't take this with you. You know, heaven is the eye of the needle. It's even more narrow. You can't take these possessions with you. You can't. So the idea is, then why do you spend so much of your life trying to gain possessions? It doesn't make any sense, right? It's futile. It's foolish. Not that wealth and money is unimportant. It is, but we should not boast in those things. It's folly for us in this way. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Let's be honest this morning, and let's say that, because I mean, you know, almost everyone here works. And obviously, when we work, there is that financial component. Are we putting our faith in our wealth, in our salary? Are we putting our faith and trust in God? Where it says it's folly. I think that's a good place to meditate on. Why are we doing what we're doing? Are we trying to find security in our possessions and wealth? Or is our security really coming from the Lord? So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today.
to my feet and a light unto my mind. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near to me through the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto
probe our hearts, right? Lord, do I really trust in you? Or do I trust in my riches? Do I trust in my knowledge? Do I trust in my abilities? Those are all given from you, but in my heart of hearts, do I place my deep confidence in those things or really in you? And when it's in Christ, then those things really come to life in us. But when it's not, then those things can drag us down. Let's probe our hearts. Let's really go before the Lord. Let's pray for our community. They're battling through cancers and going through therapies. Let's just really ask the Lord's care and help over them. Let's pray. The list is up here if you guys want to. You guys can get closer if you want.
Just a few times, every time, every time.
Let's pray over our community that are dealing with illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Pray for physical healing, the word of salvation. Pray for our community, the battling non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus, and today let's pray for Singapore, pray for SPSG, pray for P. Sam Kim and his family. Some of you guys may know he just had COVID, and I think he's recovering now. So just pray that his body and his family would be doing better. Pray for Indonesia, pray for Spin, pray for Pastor Salamat and for his family and the ministry will continue to flourish, and pray for the Philippines and Spill, pray for Pastor Ernie and his family, and our ministries will just continue to grow and people would come to Christ. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our education department, pray for SP Kids, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to be with our leaders. Pray especially for Lisa as she continues to handle more roles during this time. Let's pray that our kids, our young people, would really fall in love with Jesus. Thank you. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries, our IP, the well, and the river. Let's pray for the Lord to really use our prayer warriors, use our ministers to bring healing, bring reconciliation. Let's just really lift them up and lift these our volunteers up as well. Let's pray for our outreach tonight, SP Lights and Homey Outreach. Let's pray for this anointing. Pray the volunteers that go out and they would really be used by God in a powerful way. Let's pray for our pregnant ladies, Kathleen, Ealing, Jade, Amanda, Cecilia, Angela, and others. And let's pray that God would continue to protect the babies, protect the moms and the families, and that it would be a very smooth deliveries and all that good stuff. And let's just cover that. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Cullen and West, East Bay, Olympic, and Robin Hood. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead our leaders, our hosts, and that as they discuss the message, God would really have their way. People would really love God, grow in their love for the Lord, for each other. Pray together, Lord. We thank you, God. We love you. Lord, forgive us, God, when we place our trust in our possessions, that we place our trust in ourselves, what we can accumulate, what we have. Lord, Lord, money, possessions can't buy the things that are really important, Lord. And so help us to fix our heart, God, fix our eyes on you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Watch over our community today, God. Help us to worship you, to glorify you, God, with everything that we are and everything that we have. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.